we had to indeed go very far to find this place, kind of significant, I suppose, for health system strengthening. Those that practice it, they have to be found. Anyway, I'm going in this short presentation to cover naturally much too much, but I'm going to focus on one aspect of health system strengthening. It's one of the building blocks, health information, and particularly the routine health information system, how that is important indeed for the service delivery aspects of the work. Yeah, page down doesn't do it.
Didn't go?
No. I think you have to put up the numeric. Yep.
Yeah.
I have no relationships to disclose. So the first thing is we're going to have a quick look at why these routine systems are so important, and then particularly highlight a tool that was developed under the Measure Evaluation Project, because that is the project that I represent here. I mean, you heard maybe that I'm for the moment working in Liberia on health system strengthening, but that was more to go back to the field and resource myself. But my main aspect of my work has been always on routine health information systems under the Measure Evaluation Project, a USAID funded worldwide project. So, and I will particularly speak about a framework and tools how you can measure the performance of such routine health information systems. So, in recent years, more and more, luckily, it has taken decades to in fact, make very many countries understand how important their routine health information system is, but certainly with initiatives like the Paris Declaration and the Millennium Development Goals, people started understanding that, you know, if you have to wait every time 3 years or 5 years that the DHS is done to see what kind of progress you have made in getting better skilled birth attendance or vaccination coverage and things like that. So what routine systems can do is to give you daily help to the service providers as well as the public health managers in monitoring and planning for coverage and quality of health services, disease surveillance, commodity security, financial information systems, all these building blocks of the health system, the routine, certainly those that are focused on service delivery, the routine system can give you information. Particularly the Commission for Information on Accountability on Women's and Child Health has underscored the essential role of routine information system in accelerating progress on the Millennium Development Goals. Unfortunately, routine health information system, as most of you know, in low and middle income countries, and I would immediately add in all the industrialized countries also, and particularly in the United States, so these routine systems are woefully inadequate to provide that support. These are kind of a little bit how these systems are perceived, burden of data, or this kind of pictures. Everybody says, yeah, that's a routine health information system. You know, that's indeed where the data mostly end up. Anyway, I'm going to shortly capture why they are not working, but you can have a, well, in fact, we were publishing a whole book on why these systems are not working. But basically, there is this data that have been, you know, put together without thinking on what indeed was the real data need, why you use them, and often there are much too many data, and the data that are produced are poor quality. So that's one area of why they are not working. The other is that there is very much a centralization of this management of this information system at central level, and very little feedback goes to district and service delivery levels. Somewhere in the 90s, donors said, well, if they don't work these systems, let them develop for each of our interventions where we want to show visibility, let us develop vertical information systems and program information systems, and that what was done, but the result was duplication actually of all the systems and a lot of waste of money. And finally, those systems often lack the basic infrastructure that you need to have a good information system, meaning the human resources, the computers, the financial resources that such systems need to function. And as a result, the information produced by these routine systems is not used by the care providers, not used by the managers. And then people say, yeah, but let us do, like the director of health information systems in Geneva said once to me, but, you know, we don't need them. We can just do a survey. But that's not at all the case. The manager at district level or the care provider, he needs every day data on which he can make decisions. And so a survey cannot give him that. It's first of all, it's not representative for his area. And second of all, it's only every 3 to 5 years, as I said. So the question is not how can we find other sources of data than the routine system, but rather how can we improve the performance of these routine systems in support of planning and management of district health systems. So we have been working, I remember, mostly between the 80s and 2000 in various countries, funded by various donors on systems. I just gave a number of countries here, Niger, Pakistan, Morocco, Eritrea, Haiti. I mean, in all continents we have been working, and we have tried to learn lessons from what we have found there, but basically mostly people don't go to the real performance criteria of what is then a well-functioning routine health information system. And most people agree that it needs to be a system that produces relevant and quality information, but they forget often the second criteria, which is so important, is that this information has to be used on a continuous basis for decision-making at all levels. Why would you even have a health information system if that is not happening? So our work showed that there is a need, for example, in Morocco, where I worked for 3 years, we had fantastic quality data that were produced at all this district level entities, but for some reason they were not used for decision making. So it doesn't mean if you have quality data that you're going to use them. And so somewhere we missed something in the puzzle, and that was a kind of a more broader system thinking about what we could do about these information systems and what were the factors that influenced this performance of this routine system. And my colleague Lucero spoke already about the prism. Well, I speak also about the prism, but it's another prism. This stands for the performance of routine information system management. So it's another prism. But this was the kind of summary of the thinking that we around 2005 came up with. And here is a quick view of that framework. In fact, the PRISM framework is a logic framework with inputs, outputs. The inputs are your system as it was functioning, with what are the problems and the strategies and the interventions, and then you hope that your system will become performant with good quality information and appropriate use of information so that the health system will be better performing and you would have better health outcomes. That's a logic framework. But in fact, the black box is here. It's, you know, what are then these factors that influence performance of routine systems? And everybody understands this, the technical determinants. You need data collection instruments. You need a data generation architecture, if you can say it that way. You need eventually information technology. But like we all know, information technology is not a silver bullet. And so where we really missed out was in the other factors that basically information systems are embedded in a health system that is an organization, in fact, and they are determinants of that organization. Everybody that has worked in organizational development knows that. For example, a culture of the organization, and specifically an information culture, or a structure of the health system. If you have a health system that is totally fragmented, you cannot make an information system that matches it. And finally, behavioral determinants that are linked to the individuals, to the actors themselves that manage this system. And so that is how we moved on this framework into a set of tools to diagnose the performance of routine systems, the quality of the data they use, to check on technical aspects of the system, but mostly to measure organizational and behavioral determinants. So we applied those tools in now 23 countries, and this presentation is a kind of a summary of our experience with these tools in those countries. And as you can see, it is a little bit all over the world. Here were some of the results in terms of data quality and information use that we found when we assessed the system. And by the way, this was the first time that we could quantify the performance of routine systems. So we could say in Rwanda, we found 72 for the data quality and 70 for use. In Paraguay, it was 50 and something, and then only 22% use, etc. So we had, for the two performance criteria, we had quantitative measurements. And then the organizational and behavioral tool went into identifying the factors that influenced quality and use. For example, this is we are measuring the competence in problem solving. A lot of care providers have no clue when they have 50% coverage in prenatal care, how you move to 100% or to 80%, how you solve that problem. So problem-solving technique. When you ask them, often they say, oh yeah, we can solve problems. But when you give them a practical test, you see this is a spider diagram that shows the blue area is what they perceive, what they think is the competence. The green area is what we measure as their competence. So there is a gap, and that is very important also to realize when you start moving on interventions. So what can we do to improve routine information system performance? Well, you can do technical interventions very classically, but mostly what we have learned is that you can do organizational and behavioral interventions. Technical interventions, again, we know them better, defining a set of essential indicators, having a standardized data generation architecture, improving the integration, creation of data warehouses, computerized data analysis. This is all fine, and I cannot go in details, but most of you are familiar with these interventions. But we were more focusing on a number of organizational interventions. And I will quickly go over some of them. Self-assessment, meaning to give to a district team an exercise where they have to set targets of where they want to go the next year and how can they monitor them and reach their targets, you know. There is an example here on Pakistan where they wanted to increase facility utilization from 30% to 50%, and so they could develop an action plan how they were going to do that to motivate communities, etc. So self-assessment as an intervention. Problem-solving approaches. You know, how to draft a problem statement, how do you do a root cause analysis, how do you prioritize causes, how do you develop solutions, so this type of interventions to improve their problem-solving skills. Advocacy. A lot of people say, prenatal coverage 50%, we can do nothing, we have no fuel, we cannot do outreach, but, you know, to give them the skills to do advocacy and to go to a health to the health district level and say, you know, can we maybe get fuel for the cars and document it well why they need it, or to go to the community and say, if your women want prenatal care, give us some money for the fuel and we'll come to your village, things like that. So advocacy, and then promotion of a culture of information, and that's the most difficult. Any organizational change like that takes eventually 20 years, but how can you get into a culture where information is valued for decision making? And very important, there's the role of senior management, the role modeling of senior management. If your superior is not promoting decision making, use of information for decision making, you don't expect it from the care providers. And then behavioral interventions have mostly to do with the upgrading of the training in routine health information system using this concepts like perception gaps. So we did training courses in Pakistan, Uganda, South Africa, Mexico, and also a lot of work on including HMIS into the pre-service training programs. So this is a quick result of Ivory Coast that shows that the PRISM tools are not only well done to say this is the situation, but also when you do intervention, you can use the PRISM tools as a evaluation and monitoring tool, so you can go back. In Ivory Coast, in 2008, the data quality was 43%, but in 12, it was 60% at the level of the health facilities. And for the district, it went from 40% to 81%. So they could see, hey, our system is improving, or else it's stagnating, like the use was not going further at facility level because very little interventions were done. So the PRISM tools are also consistent in their measurement, the validity, and that was tested in another article on the validity of the tools. And examples of interventions that we did in Ivory Coast was to integrate the HIV indicators into the overall system, so to go away from fragmentation, to organize this training and use of information and problem solving, to develop feedback bulletins at all levels. So in conclusion, and by the way, all these articles, you can get them from the stand of measure evaluation. There is a study here on these 23 countries that gives all the details that I cannot give in this very short presentation. But in a couple of points, the unique role of a routine health information system is to produce quality data to improve the health system management functions at all levels. And the PRISM tools allow you to measure the performance for the first time of those routine health information systems. Also, routine information systems should focus on the district level and below, and when you try to improve them, you cannot do it only with technical interventions. You need a mix of technical, organizational, and behavioral intervention. And as I said, the establishment of a culture of information where information for decision making is really valued needs an involvement of the senior management of the Ministry of Health in many of these countries. So I hope that has thrown a bit of light on where we're going to go in the future with routine health information systems. Thank you.